Blog Talk Radio.
I selfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life. Oh, bruised and scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before. For me, nailed in your pain, nailed in your feet, piercing your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in all of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life, and still I heard you love so many times. Why do you again? But I repent, forgive me for my sins. You laid it all upon the cross. You let it die, cause I flow. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall, for you paid it all. Oh, oh. No money I can pay in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins. Oh, I surrender my whole life, I owe, as a living sacrifice, Lord. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have
amen, amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve here. We thank you for tuning in with us today on Fruit of the Spirit Christian Ministry Network, Blog Talk Radio. I am Reverend Strawbridge, and today we have a treat for you. It's the beginning of the last seven words of Jesus. This is the week. This is Resurrection Week, Good Friday, and all that good stuff. Look, we're going to have fun. This is about God. This is about Jesus. This is about Jesus. If you can say that with me, Jesus. This is about Jesus and his resurrection, and he paid it all for us. He paid it all for us through his death and on the cross and all the things that he went. It was so much, I'm telling you, it was so much that happened in his departure, right before his departure. It was just, I mean, man. But this week, we're focusing on the last seven words of Jesus. And like I said, we're going to start off by having a wonderful treat today. And we have my brother, Minister Jarvis Miller, on the radio with us today. He's going to give us a powerful word on high. Hallelujah. How you doing? How you
amen,
doing,
amen. I'm doing great, today, Pastor. How you amen. Doing, man?
I'm doing fine, man. Doing fine. Hey, Minister, me and you go way back when. Four flat tires.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. White wall. Four flat white wall tires.
I'm trying to tell you.
We're real old school.
We started in the ministry together. Both got our conversions in the ministry together around the same time, trial sermons and everything else, and just ministry. And I all started,
yes.
We get a shout out to Kingdom City, Kingdom to the Church in Stone Mountain,
yes.
Georgia.
That's where we started.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Bishop James Hopper. Pastor Mona. Yes, sir.
Pastor Mona Hopper.
There you go. Yeah, man.
Come on,
hey, don't get it. Yes. And also we have some powerful, how you say, the better halves, the great prophet, Miss Miller, Lord.
Yes.
That's a powerful woman of God as well. You know,
yes,
First Lady,
yes.
Natasha Strawbridge. It was so much birth. After ministry, and God has God is and doing some wonderful things. And with my brother, Minister Jay, I mean, I call him Minister Jay. He's like a big brother to me, and I really look up to him and everything. And so, you know, what a privilege. I mean, let me tell you, you're talking about somebody to dissect the word, really, really, really go in depth with it, to have you like real intrigued. I mean, every time he speaks and it speaks, teach or preach, I am very intrigued and overwhelmed with like, wow.
Thank you.
Look at God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. But, I appreciate that.
So, you know, I mean, you are, man. Go ahead, sir.
Your introduction is so great, man. I was, you know, I'm sitting there pondering. I'm like, okay, is he talking about me?
I am, man. You
definitely embarrassed me so well, bro. You know.
Hey, praise God. I mean, praise God. That's just real. That's real. I mean, you know, real talk for real people. You know, that's just real.
I appreciate that, definitely, by all means. And likewise, too, yeah. You know, I can't go without saying that, you know, all of us that came out of that ministry, we all came out with, you know, there was 11 or 12 ministers at one time. And you almost liken it to, like, the disciples of Christ. You know, that we all had different style, different flavor, you know, different viewpoint, different word. But we all followed the same doctrine now, which was the main thing.
Come on, man. I'm trying to tell you, it was some wonderful times. And it's even getting better, but, you know, it was some wonderful times because that was the beginning. And years later, here we are now. And
There we go.
We just great. We're grateful. And God is doing, God is doing a great thing. Not saying he's doing a new thing, because, you know, nothing is new under the sun. Great things, even more greater tonight. Tonight we have our brother Minister Jarvis. He's gonna start us off with an epic message on high on day one for the last seven words of Jesus. Let me tell you, last time you in for an impactful night. You in for an impactful week. We have some powerful ministers that's going to come along after Minister Jarvis is going to deliver an awesome word as well. But tonight, this is the man of the hour. And before Minister Jarvis going, we're just going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you that your word does not return to you void, Lord God. We pray for the man of the hour that's going to come forth and bring the word. Your word, Lord, your truth, Lord God, the fruits of the Spirit, Lord God. Lord God, the pure souls, the mind, and Lord God, tear down strongholds, Lord God, that you could just be who you are. And Lord God, that one that's contemplating anything that's outside your will, Lord God, they'll get straight, they'll get right, they'll get back in, they'll restore their fellowship with you, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord God. Lord God, strengthen him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Cover the man of God, Lord God. Let him speak, Lord God. Let him speak with confidence. Let him speak with joy. Let him speak with overwhelming joy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. But, Lord God, most of all, this night, forevermore, Lord God, we just declare and decree that you just use the man of God, Lord God. All of you, none of him, Lord God. Lord God, we just bless your name this day and forevermore. And on this day that you set aside for the man of God, we introduce him not only to the earth, we introduce him in the heavens. Minister Jarvis Miller. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for those wonderful words and that powerful prayer, man. You know, I'm having a hard time staying in my seat, but definitely thank you for the powerful prayer that went before the people, before I got into my word. So I definitely feel prepared now to at least bring something that I know is not about me, but it would be definitely from the Lord above. So thank you, brother. And Pastor, also I want to thank you also. I do count it as an honor and a privilege for you to allow me, you know, to sit into your pulpit here. Even though it's virtual, but yet it's still your pulpit. So I definitely don't take it lightly, you know, that you have, you know, invited me and asked me to come and bring a word virtually. This is how the, you know, how communication is now. You can definitely capture more souls, not just one way of doing things now. There are several ways to get God's word out there, and I definitely commend you on the way you're conducting your ministry. You always have been one that you know I always looked up to. Although you know I'm older than you in age, but you know in some ways you're older than me. You know in ministry, so I definitely look up to you in the way you handle your ministry, yourself, your family, you know your walk. Gotta give you definitely give you props on that, man. But again, definitely thank you for allowing me, you know, to sit in your pulpit this evening and then bring a word of the Lord. And also, I don't want to go too far without thanking the Lord also for you know, allowing me, giving me
Amen.
A word.
Amen.
You know, I mean,
Amen.
The word we're talking about tonight is the word based off of his sacrifice, to, you know, his last few hours on this earth as a human. You know, we know Jesus was both human and he was divine, which means, you know, he was like you and I, and he was like nothing we'd ever seen before. You know, he was God all himself. At the same token, he was just like the average man. So this word tonight and this word this week, actually these seven last sayings, seven last words, seven last prayers of Christ are his seven last verbal words on this earth before he was transferred from normal man to all spirit. So definitely I give honor to the Lord for the price that was paid and to God for the gifts that were laid out for all of us. And again, let me reintroduce myself. This is Jarvis Miller, Minister Jarvis Miller, for those who never heard the minister side in front of my name before. Most people just know me as Jarvis or Jay. But
Amen.
You know, some people never heard of me as Minister Jarvis or Minister Jay, but as you mentioned earlier, you know, you and I have been ordained for quite a few years. I want to say a good 12, 13 years now. You and I got ordained at the same, pretty much the same time, all within the same year.
That's right.
So you and I both have been traveling this path, you know, and you and I both have been traveling the path in an unconventional way as well. You know, never have been one to have sat down, you know, in a brick and mortar church, you know, even storefront, but yet, you know, we have always had a church within our spirit. So, you know, we realized early on that, you know, the church is a lot bigger than one man, one building, one congregation. You know, we all believers are the church. So, you know, just by your walk, you know, can show what Christ is truly about in this world. So just wanted to reintroduce myself again, Minister Jarvis Miller, for those who don't know. And I'm kicking off this inaugural reading of the last seven words, last seven sayings, last seven prayers of Christ. I'm not sure if the fruit of the Spirit have they done this before in the past, but I'm not. Okay, well, I'm definitely right on key when I say the inaugural end. So I'm, you know, I'm actually making history, I guess, because I'm the first one of
Ones.
Yes, sir. So I definitely even count that at the pleasure and an honor to be the first one to bring the first last seven words of Christ in the fruit of the Spirit ministry. You know, some of you guys out there may not even have heard of this ceremony or process. I'm not even sure what to even call it because some churches don't celebrate the last seven sayings of Christ. Definitely when came up, that was something that was not done in ministry. We knew about the last seven sayings, but that was never an actual outward show and personal, each last seven sayings being categorized and brought out into its own sermon. But up until I got into my adult age, but for those who don't know and have never experienced it, you're in for a treat. I'm not just talking about myself, but throughout this whole week, it's going to be six other ministers, pastors, bishops, reverends, who are going to bring the other six sayings of the last seven sayings of Christ. So just sit back, relax. I know it's, you know, can be kind of late for some, but, you know, but hey, you know, we all still are in God's time. So
that's right.
you know, the last seven sayings, and I'm going to go over each one of them first of all, and I'm going to break down which one I'm going to bring out. But they were traditionally categorized in seven different categories per saying. The first one is the saying or prayer of forgiveness, and that's in Luke 23:34, where it says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second one is going to be, it was categorized in the prayer of salvation, where Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The third one is categorized in the subject of relationship, where it said, "Behold your son and behold your mother." That's in John 19:26-27. The fourth one is categorized as abandonment, and that's in Mark 27:46, and also Matthew 27:46, and Mark 15:34, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The fifth one is categorized as the prayer of distress, and that's when Jesus said two simple words, "I thirst." That's in John 19:28. The sixth one, where Jesus said, well, it's categorized as Jesus' prayer of triumph, where Jesus said, "It is finished." That's in John 19:30. And finally, the fourth prayer of Jesus, or the last words on the cross, was when Jesus said, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." And that's in Luke 23:46. And that's the category of reunion. But tonight I'm going to talk about the first category. That's the category of forgiveness. And we find that in the book of Luke, in chapter 23, and it's in one verse, would be verse 36, where the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if you look at all of these sayings, all of these prayers, all of these words of Christ, last words on earth as human, they are an example of a person who is in essence is on their deathbed. Now, we know as Christ, he was on the cross, but even then, he was on his deathbed. And you know, recently I lost a brother of mine earlier this year. My brother Myron passed earlier this year. And when he was taken to the hospital, we were not there at the time, but the doctors called us and said, "You know, your brother, he wants to talk to y'all. You know, he's looking for his brothers. He wants to talk to y'all. Want to talk to you guys." So when we got down there, you know, he was already in a coma, and we never did talk to him again. But, you know, I liken it to Christ, where, you know, not so much in himself, but, you know, he had a last word he wanted to get out. And Christ has seven of these. And these last words, again, like I said, they were a prayer. And they were prayers for not himself, although some of them were personal about himself, but they were prayers for us, though. And I'm going to ask you, in your spare time, you know, in your time of devotion, when you're reading your Bible, your personal Bible study time, to read the entire chapter of Luke 23. And you'll find the whole chapter of Luke 23 is divided up into three sections. And you'll see in section one is Jesus's accusation and his trial, and that'll be covered in verses 1 through 22. The second chapter, or the second section of that chapter, chapter 23 of Luke, you'll see Jesus' persecution and his conviction, and that will be captured in verses 23 through 31. And the final section, the final division of chapter 23 in Luke 23, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, is Jesus' execution and redemption. And that will be found in verse 32 through 55. But I'm going to focus on that first section now, that first division in chapter 23, when I talked about Jesus' accusation. I'm sorry, in the second one, when I talked about Jesus' execution, persecution, and his conviction. Now, when Jesus said, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing," I used to often wonder what was Jesus referring to. I used to think he was talking about just those who had participated in the crucifixion portion. And, you know, the crucifixion was more than just him being hung on the cross, nailed to the cross. And although that was horrific, and I think we probably have seen photos and even have seen movies, I think one of them would be The Passion of the Christ, where it shows explicitly how Jesus died and how he suffered and how he was beaten. And I mean, not just beaten as a normal convict at that time. He was beaten far beyond what was considered normal. He was lashed with this whip. I think they call it a cat's of nine tails, where it was a whip that had chars of glass and metal embedded in it. So once it hit his skin, it not only pierced his skin, but it ripped open his skin. And then he was stabbed in the side. And it was just so many different forms of torture, I guess the better way to say it now, that Jesus endured. And keep in mind, during this same time now, I mean, Jesus, like we say, he was human and also he was divine, where, you know, he could have easily just put a stop to all of that, because he was still God and Jesus as one, but yet he was still a human. And that's the part that was being condemned, the human side of Jesus. And also the spiritual side of Jesus also, because he knew what he was doing had a bigger purpose, had a bigger meaning, though. He was really fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Well, I think it was in Isaiah 53 where it says, he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He did that even for the ones that were beating him. But yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. For they know not what they do.
Yes.
Can you imagine that, dude? Can you imagine our Lord, you know, seeing you and I at this very moment right now? Because don't get it wrong. I mean, don't get it twisted by thinking it was just those that needed forgiveness. Need to be forgiven. He was saying it for us right now, though, because when we sin, and you know, they're just part of life. You know, no one's perfect. There are no saints here on earth. You know, we all fall short. But Jesus is always will always be right beside the Father, saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." But what really hurt my eyes and my ears and my spirit was, I looked more into it, and he was not only talking about those who were beating him, and you know, those who proceeded in the crucifixion process. He was talking about, for instance, the two thieves that sat beside him, that stood beside him. You know, and if I can take you back a little bit further, during this process, now, you know, let me break it down a little bit. I don't want to go through the whole Bible and read the whole chapter because it is kind of lengthy, but I can kind of, you know, break it down into bit-sized pieces that maybe it'll explain what was going on at that time. Jesus was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall, as the Bible says. He was taken he was taken to Pilate, because the Sanhedrin Council, and those were like the rulers of the Jewish people. They were like the, you know, the judges of the Jewish people. They were like the leaders of the Jewish people. And they did not like Jesus. They were threatened by Jesus. You know, they only saw Jesus as a human. They never saw him as divine. They thought he was competition to them. And they wanted him dead. I mean, plain and simple, they wanted Jesus out of there. And they would do anything they could to get rid of him. So they took him to Pilate. Pilate was the leader. He was the Roman leader during those times. They took him to Pilate, and they wanted Pilate to execute Jesus by crucifixion. He refused to do so. He found no fault in this man. He's like, you know what? I don't think anything he's done wrong. He said, you know, in fact, he's not even from my district. He's from Galilee, so you need to take him to Herod. That's Herod's district. He took him to Herod, and we all know the story about Herod being as crazy as he was, and even Herod could not find fault in Jesus. But Herod was a little bit more crazier. Herod actually was the one that actually put this so-called robe on Jesus. He had his men robe Jesus in this robe, and you know, he was kind of making a mockery out of the whole scene by you know, putting this elaborate robe on Jesus and calling him the King of the Jews. He thought it was funny. It's amazing how, you know, the devil can do one thing and still is doing God's bidding. You notice that how, you know, Herod was saying Jesus was the King of the Jews, jokingly, but actually he was the King of the Jews. I mean, you know, that's just how God can use even the evil ones, you know, to do his own bidding, even if it's just in words. And one thing I found that was strange during that process, Herod and Pilate were enemies. They did not like each other. But if you read in that same chapter in verse 12, it said, that day Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Now, even Jesus had made two evil enemies evil friends. You know, I just found that very strange that of all people, you know, someone of God can cause two evil leaders to become evil friends. And I think the saying is best when that saying go, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think that's how they viewed each other. You know, each one of them didn't like Jesus, so that was their major enemy. So they became friends behind that. But sadly enough, sometimes that's how God can get you into his life, though. You know, by you thinking that, you know, he's your enemy. And I'm not talking about us Christians, but I'm talking about those who may not be a believer. But that only works by us showing Christ through us. But to get back to the text, what Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive those, for you know that what they're doing. He was not only talking about, you know, the ones that beat him. He was talking about those two thieves that were beside him. They were being crucified also. And one of those thieves was mocking Jesus. And he was like, you know what, you know, you're Jesus, you know, you say you are the king, you know, why can't you get yourself off this cross then? You know, he was hurling insults at Jesus. He was like, you know, why can't you save yourself and save me at the same time? Isn't that how it usually is? You know, someone, they got an ulterior motive about, you know, wanting you to help them, you know, just by insulting you but to help yourself. They will call you to do something that, you know, you're not ready for yet, but yet they want theirs done so badly that they will cause you to jump ahead of yourself and jump ahead of God. But Jesus knew that his time was coming. And the other criminal, the other thief, you know, was one on each side of Jesus. And the other one was like, you know, what's wrong with you, man? You know, I'm just using, you know, our normal talk. But in the Bible, and I'm looking for it now, I think it's in verse 40 in that same chapter. He said, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now, it's amazing how a criminal can be on a cross, or be in jail, or be in on death row, or be in the executioner's chair, but still can see that the man of God did nothing wrong. At the same token, the man of God, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, God himself, can be on death row. But his main concern was to forgive those who were killing him. Now, how many of us can do that? How many of us, per se, an example, could, let's say back in the 30s or 40s, could have forgiven Adolf Hitler for all the people who he killed, or Joseph Stalin for all the people that he killed, or even modern times when someone who has killed, you know, a large amount of people, you know, how many of us can just openly forgive, you know, and heartfelt forgive? Now, I know we'll say, I can forgive, but I won't forget. And that's not really forgiving then. But see, this is the example that we need to follow right here about forgiving. Forgiving has nothing to do with not forgetting. That just comes naturally. You're going to remember that regardless. But just by saying those words, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget. But that means you're not fully forgiving. Jesus fully forgave. Not only did he forgive those who were beating him, not only did he forgive those who were mocking him, being those two, one of those two criminals, but he forgave the people. The people were walking around Jesus. And the people said in Luke chapter 23, verse 35, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, save others. You see, he saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. Now, even they were mocking him. But Jesus said the same thing. Jesus' whole forgiveness was for all of them, not just the ones who beat him, not just the ones who sneered beside him, the two criminals that who were dying with him. But even the people that walked by him, his own people, they were like, why can't you save yourself? Since you're the Son of God, you're the chosen one, do something. Do something, Jesus. Even they were mocking him. And even the leaders, it said the rulers, even the rulers sneered at him. So even the leaders of the people, which I'm not surprised, they're the ones that wanted him dead anyway, but especially his people, though. But look at even the guards. Now, I know that they were just doing their job in essence, but even the guards mocked Jesus. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine with vinegar in it, and they labeled him King of the Jews and asked him to save yourself. Even they mocked him. But you know what? But Jesus kept that whole mentality of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I think that was the biggest picture of it all, though. They did not know what they were doing. I mean, we know now, you know, because we have, you know, had the advantage of knowing Christ and studying Christ, you know, with Bibles and books and concordances and schools and all this. So we all know Christ, so we should know better, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we do. But these folks back here definitely did not know better. But yet Jesus still asked for their forgiveness. Now, I thought it strange because how it picked out how the Roman soldiers were. It described how they mocked him, they spit on him, they beat him, they yanked out his beard, they whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him to the cross. Yeah. I mean, that's just like going overboard. But you know what? Yeah. But the Bible said, and that's all under my section, under the division of persecution and conviction. But the whole story changed, though. The whole story changed because what happened, and I'm not going to get into each other's, the last seven sayings, because I know this week they're going to bring some dynamic words. I'm just starting it off believing the rest of this week going to be on fire. But after all that, after Jesus had been mocked, after Jesus had been on that cross, it said that during this time he had been on the cross for several hours, and it was noon during this particular time. Then darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. Can you imagine noon to 3 in the afternoon? It was dark. It was pitch black outside. And that's in verse 44, if you don't believe me, just read it. That the sun stopped shining. Can you imagine that? That the curtain in the temple tore into two. And Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And he said, Jesus gave up the ghost. Earthly Jesus gave up the ghost, that it is. But you know what? This is the redemption side of it. If you get down to verse 47, it said the centurion. But the centurion was those guards I was suddenly telling you about. The one that spit on him, the one that beat him, the same one that beat him with cats and nines, the one that pulled, yanked out his beard, put the crown of thorns on his head. It said the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. And it said in verse 48, it said when all the people had gathered to witness this sight, saw what took place, they beat their chests and went away. Now, you see the change, the redemption of people? And it started back when one of those two criminals on the cross said, Father, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, see, these were the size of people changing their ways, though, because of Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Because that came first. He asked God to forgive them. And things started changing within these people. But one thing that you have to remember, though, that forgiveness is almost exactly like salvation. Not exactly like it, but almost exactly like salvation. Both of them comes from God through Jesus. And both are free to us. And both of them were paid with a price. And also both of them is only activated through repentance, acceptance, and admission of your sins. And I think these are the key things that those people finally got in their spirit. You know what? We don't mess up. And that's all it takes, though. All it takes is for a man, a person, a woman to realize, you know what, God, I messed up. You know, and if all, I mean, that can be a prayer in itself. As long as you're talking to God, you know, God, I'm sorry. I've done wrong. I've done you wrong. I've done them wrong. God will forgive you. That's all God wants to do, is to forgive you. And Jesus' forgiveness in this particular verse, in this chapter, in this last saying of Christ, could be categorized in three types of reasons. His forgiveness had something to do with his physical body. He was hurting. He had been beaten. He had been spit upon. He had been had a crown of thorns pressed into his skull, into his head. His hands had been pierced with nails as they nailed him to the cross. He was dying. He had been stabbed in the side. He was dying on the cross physically. So his forgiveness was from a physical point of view, because all that came from a man, from these men, from these guards. And also his forgiveness was because he was hurt verbally from all the people jeering and mocking him and showing no love at all. That is a way of hurting someone too, just by your words, though. And lastly, he was hurt spiritually, and that's why he sought forgiveness. He was hurt by the leaders of the people. They were as much against him as anybody was. And Jesus, and I'm not trying to make it sound like they were going to change. Jesus knew who was going to change and who wasn't going to change. But I think the high point for me of this word, of this lesson, is that forgiveness is only made whole if you accept your wrong. If you accept forgiveness and you repent from your wrong and you move on from what you have done. And that's what these people had done with Christ. They had moved on, and Jesus' forgiveness had became manifest in them. Where he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. As I get ready to close, like I said, I'm not long-winded at all, and Pastor Strawberry told you, you know, I'm a teacher, not a preacher. You know, I'm a historian more than anything else. I dissect anything and try to get points out of it. And each time you hear somebody give these words, believe me, you're going to get a different meaning out of it, because the Word of God is alive. It don't read the same way every time you read it. But that's my spill on it. But if I close, I'm going to give you a story that kind of summed it up to me. And it's the story of this father and his son. And the father and son were riding in the car, and the son in the back seat playing with his toys, and the father was driving. And a bee flew through the window. I'm not sure what kind of bee it was. It was yellow jacket or a hornet or a wasp or whatever, but it was, you know, a pretty big bee. And it flew past the father and flew into the back of the car and started terrorizing this little boy. And the boy, you know, like anybody would be with a bee bothering him, you know, he's swinging and, you know, carrying on. The father's still driving. And the father looking in the rearview mirror at his son and realizing what's going on, he's going to see what his boy is going to do, how he's going to handle this. And the boy finally yells out. He said, Daddy, help. And the father reached back with one hand. Didn't even look. Just reached back with one hand and grabbed the bee, squeezed it, and threw it down on the floor. And as that, and they continued on their way. They continued on their way. And later on, you know, the son was glad. He looked at his father. He's like, Dad, you know, you like, you can't do anything wrong. You can do everything. You know, nothing can beat you. You know, he thought his dad was the biggest man in the world. So they drove on. The boy kept playing in the back with his toys and whatnot. And, you know, everything was great. But the bee wasn't fully dead, though. It was down on the floorboard, and it was moving around. And it got back up. And it saw the father, and it went past him because he knew it couldn't deal with the father. And he went back to the little boy in the back seat and started terrorizing him again. And the bee, but this time, the bee was mad. It's like, okay, you don't got your father on me. Now I'm going to really get you. So now the bee is hitting him. He's not terrorizing now. He's hitting the boy. He's trying to sting him. And the father looking in the mirror and looking like, you know what, this boy still ain't learned his lesson, you know, just call on me and I'll take care of you. And the boy finally yelled out, Daddy, Daddy, the bee. he's trying to kill me. And the father looked at the son and said, son, you know, that bee is not going to kill you. And the father showed his hand. And he showed where the stinger was still stuck in his hand. And although the bee was still alive, the bee had no power to sting the boy. And this is what the word of God is telling us now. You know, the devil is still out there. He's still prowling around. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the last seven sayings of Christ, first one starting off with Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Because of that night, because of that march up the hill called Golgotha, we have nothing to fear. We have no one to fear. We have, can't even fear death anymore. So he's taking the sting out of death. So I encourage you tonight. I encourage you tonight, you know, this week, in your spare time again, in your personal time with God, to read this chapter over and concentrate on it and get what I got out of it. And I think you truly will be blessed. And this is what the cross is all about, though. Taking it back to the cross. For the cross that Jesus died on saved our lives. And I hope this all saved your, this word was good to your body and your spirit. That's what I have for tonight.
Oh, man. Amen. 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 Mr. J. I'm not going to ask you guys out there in Radio Land, are you blessed? From the message from the man of God, I'm talking about, I'm floored because you really, like you said, he's a historian, and some stuff that you might have not known, now you know. How you say, if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know. There you go.
Now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. And elated. And the bee story was, I'm sorry, sir, I'm gonna have to steal that. I'm gonna have to steal it. And
I
am gonna use it.
You're right ahead, man.
It was really good.
It's
really
not mine
good.
Anyway.
It was really good. It was very powerful message. And Minister Jarvis, man, we just thank God for you here. Thank you for like you said, starting us off with the first inaugural, the last seven words, last seven sayings, and giving us a real good history lesson on where it derived from, how it began, and what's to come. And like Minister Jay said, this is a powerful week and powerful week in store for you. But we, you know, if you can, I want you to stretch out your hands right now. You know, wherever you are, stretch out your hands and say, because we got fed tonight. You know, say, restore in the name of Jesus what the man of God was led by God to put into the airwaves. Restore, replenish your centuries in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for a mighty word on high, Lord God. You're so mighty, you're so merciful, Lord God. We thank you for the man of God in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, man.
Amen.
Go ahead, Minister Jarvis. Minister Jarvis, the call to salvation, the call to look tomorrow night. I think we have Pastor Bronner right here in the AUG. I think we don't, I'm not, no, that's Apostle Dennis Collins from Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
He would be on the
show. Yeah,
That's another one of our brothers.
Yeah.
You know, another one of our brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so he'll be ministering tomorrow night. We thank you for tuning in to the Free the Spirit Christian Network. And this is not the last that you will hear from Minister Jarvis. Believe that. Believe in me. This is not the last time that you will hear from on this network. And so, we thank you. Thank you and your lovely wife and your family. Family full of ministers, y'all. Powerful ministers at that. And
Thank you very much.
God for him. There again, tune in to us tomorrow on Fruit of the Spirit Christian Network. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, man. Amen. Amen.
All right, man.
All right.